Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Reyes shortens up just a tad. The 0-2, line to left, that's trouble, it's down for a hit. Altuve followed by Bregman. Correa to second, he's got a double. He's 2-for-2, both hits on 0-2 pitches, and the Astros have a 2-1 lead. The pitch by Crochet is lined out toward the alleyway in left center. It's going to get to the wall. Maldonado scores. Altuve right behind him. That is a two-run double, and it's 5-1 Astros. Altuve has doubled, been hit by a pitch, singled, popped to short, reached on an error. He's scored three times. Swing and a drive to left for a three-run homer. And it's 10-1. The 0-1 to Hernandez, and a bouncer to second. This will do it. Altuve to Gurriel. And the Houston Astros are headed to the ALCS. They have eliminated the White Sox. 3-1 here in the division series. The final score today, Houston 10, and the White Sox won.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So that's how it went down. White Sox were not in it yesterday for very long, and they lose to the better team. No question. The Astros, through the four games, prove they are a better baseball team. But hopefully, brighter days are ahead with all these young players maturing, hopefully staying healthier, Jonathan Hood, and locked up long term. They've got some tweaks they got to make, and I think they need to add an ace pitcher. So a lot to unpack there. My friend, your team had a really, really fun season, but fell far short.
Well, for sure, this was a very unusual season for the White Sox in that it was successful, but yet there was a lot of layers to it. There's a lot of pages to this yearbook for the White Sox. Yermin, of course, and Tony La Russa being the manager, and a lot of new faces coming to the Sox. Just when you think you have your roster solidified, there are new faces that were able to come in and try to help this team. It was an interesting regular season because of how often the White Sox were on the IL. Quality players, key players to a run were out. And it just shows you the resolve. I've been using this word a lot, Cap, as you well know. The resolve of the ball club to be able to have 90-plus wins and get to the playoffs is amazing. I'll always remember this team. There's non-playoff teams for the White Sox I'll always remember, like the Torborg 90 team, very solid team. Teams that were on the precipice of getting to the playoffs and didn't make it. But this one will tell you a great story about how you can overcome injuries and still be a good baseball team. And hats off to La Russa, hats off to Rick Hahn and the players for just keeping it together. But ultimately, it comes down to talent, and talent that knows each other well. And the Astros, a veteran team that has been to the playoffs time after time, they knew what to do against the White Sox, and that's bludgeoning them offensively.
Look, there's a reason that team's gone to five consecutive ALCSs. They absolutely are wonderfully talented. Now, they're going to take a step back next year if they don't get Correa re-signed, and it does not sound like they are going to find common ground. He talked to my friend Gordon Whitmire and said, no. They tried. It didn't work out. And so we'll see where he ends up. Could he be a Cub? Could he be a Tiger? But I look at that White Sox team, Abreu back. Got to figure out second base. I'm not sure Cesar Hernandez or Leury Garcia are the starter on a World Series team. Mm-hmm. Your shortstop's a stud. Your third baseman's really good. Your left fielder's really good. Your center fielder's really good. Got to figure out right field. And you've got to add another ace pitcher because Rodon's not going to be back you've got to add Robbie Ray or Marcus Stroman or whoever this year's version of Blake Snell or Yu Darvish, whatever big name gets traded, and then hope for better success.
Well, I don't want to confuse activity with accomplishment when it comes to Rick Hahn. The thing that I liked is that the Sox were all in, trying to get the best ball club possible to have a playoff push. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. There's positives that I could just point out as far as resolve and watching the baseball team hit, and well, you got unsung heroes coming through for the regular season. But we have to mention something that is troublesome to me, and that's the starting rotation, right? There were some that were trying to compare this starting rotation to 05, and I laughed at that. And it's just like, you know, that's the best pitching I've ever seen as a White Sox fan. So yeah, 05 is a real big hill to climb if you want to get to that type of rotation. But as I told you in this series, Cap, the idea that you have Lucas Giolito and you have Dylan Cease and Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon, and you have these four starters that combine for 12 and a third innings and an ERA of 10.22. They walked 12, gave up 14 hits, and struck out 13. And along with Dallas Keuchel, which is something that has not worked out for this team. So we could talk about the positives with this White Sox team and get to the playoffs, but ultimately it's about October. If you can't get it done in October, then what's the point of April through September, right? It gets you there, but when it counts, when the spotlight is at its brightest, those guys failed.
They did.
Period.
No question.
So that's what pisses me off this morning is that, and we've talked about this before, like, hey, man, can you give me five innings? Why does it have to be two and a third? Why is it two and two-thirds?
Correct me if I'm wrong. You did not get five out of any of the four starters.
No. So the Keuchel experiment, as we knew last year, was a bust.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, and again, I appreciate what Lance Lynn has brought to the table in the regular season, but where were you in the playoffs? Where was Giolito in the playoffs? Right? How about this? I was tongue-in-cheek talking to you before the trade deadline, and you said, Hoodie, what if the White Sox got Craig Kimbrell? And I said, where are you going to play him? You know, I mean, he's a closer. Where are you going to play him? Because I believe that much in Liam Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something? The Kimbrell experiment also sucked.
You did?
You know why? Because he's not an eighth inning guy. He's a closer. So you take that fish out of water and say, you know what? We're going to build the Nasty Boys. We're going to have Kopech and we're going to have a situation where you get it right to Hendricks and have Kimbrell in the middle in the eighth. That didn't work. ERA over five, and he struggled in that spot. All you need is three outs or maybe two-thirds of an inning or a third of an inning, and Kimbrell could not get the job done. So that didn't work either. So, again, I appreciate the effort of Rick Hahn, but the players let down. Yeah, Kimbrell is always a closer. Okay, great. But you thought maybe he can give you three outs. It didn't happen on a regular basis. He struggled in that spot.
He did. No question about it. And if you could go back to the trade deadline, you would say, I'll take Madrigal back. I have a hole at second base, right?
Well, I like to take care of the pitching.
That's where it starts for me. Disappointing. Look, McCullers is a really good pitcher. Valdez is a good pitcher. They got good enough starting pitching for the most part, the Astros.
Yeah.
The White Sox need to go add an ace. They have the payroll ability to do so. And I think they have an attractive enough situation that pitchers would say, I'll go play there. Absolutely. With that team behind me?
Sure.
Absolutely. But
now you keep Madrigal on the north side. That's fine. I mean, you have to make deals to be able to try to try to get your ball club better. So I get it. I understand that.
Give them credit. Yeah, tip your cap, Rick Hahn.
But ultimately, some of the experiments failed. So, no, you're going to need a second baseman, but what's more important is getting an ace starting pitcher.
Agreed.
And also trying to figure out what you want to do in the back end of that bullpen. And I'll say this for the guys that came through a lot in the regular season. The Andersons, the Moncadas, the Roberts, the Abreus, the Aloys, they didn't have a double or a triple or a home run in this series. They had six extra base hits and none in the first two games against Houston.
Six for the series.
Six extra base hits and none in the first two games.
And you had Sheets had two of them yesterday. He had a double and a home run.
Yes.
Yeah, the big, whether it was Giolito, whether it was Lynn, whether it was just the guys you mentioned right now, nobody stepped up. They didn't get the job done. So I ask you this question as a White Sox fan. Was that season a success?
No. And you know why I say that is because Rick Hahn would say that.
Correct. He said, if we don't make the World Series, we fell short then.
Right. So my opinion is Rick Hahn's opinion, which is Jerry Reinsdorf's opinion, which is Tony La Russa's opinion. You fell short. You're the same. You may not be the same team as you were last year, but you had the same results from last year. You got bounced out in the first round. I can enjoy the regular season the way it was, Cap, but again, the spotlight was on you in the postseason, and you didn't get it done. That's disappointing. And I'll say this. I'm patient enough to wait on the offense, right? Those guys I just mentioned, the Moncadas, the Roberts, the Abreus, the Andersons, Aloys, it'll come through. Young ball club, offensively, they'll come through. But I'm more concerned about the pitching, right? Because what you have here is a ball club that can slug their way through wins and win games 9-2. Can you win the close game on a regular basis when it counts? Do you have a lineup that's dangerous 1-9? You do not. You do not. It's top heavy, and you have some guys, some fleas on the bottom that have come through from time to time. But no, that sucked to see the White Sox not even taking another step. And what did I tell you in March? I said, Cap, it doesn't feel like a World Series team to me. It didn't feel like the charm season for the Cubs in 16, where you were, boy, everything's working. Look at that. Out of nowhere, I didn't see that. I saw a team slug their way to the playoffs. I saw a team that had good enough pitching to be able to get to the postseason. But I never said World Series to you. And that's because you feel it when you're a fan. You know it when you see it. I told Sylvie in 16, in May of 16, I go, you know your team's going to the World Series. He goes, no way. I go, yeah, you guys are having a charm season. I see something here. It was around Memorial Day. I go, you guys are going to be the Golden State Warriors of Major League Baseball. I said, because you guys are relentless. No way. I go, you're going. And you guys want it. Because you know it when you see it as a fan, right? Mm-hmm. And I did not see that with this White Sox team, where I saw, you know, another step, but not to the mountaintop, because they're not good enough, especially with the starting pitching.
Yeah, I thought they were better than you did, and ultimately you were right, I was wrong. But again, there were a ton of injuries.
Yeah.
To navigate through those, kudos to the players and the coaches and the personnel department, finding guys that plug and play, whether it was Billy Hamilton or Brian Goodwin or whoever it was,
yeah.
Jake Lamb,
mm-hmm.
Bam, guys are stepping up. You'll be an overwhelming favorite to win the division next year. Now you got to build on it. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776. Sox fans, what would you do if you ran your favorite team to improve it for next season? Plus, is TLR the right guy to lead the team? That's all coming up next.
Take that.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Carlos Correa, this year you've heard from the fans in the stands, reminders of 2017. During this series, you heard it from Ryan Tepera, an opponent. Did his words referring to the sign-stealing scandal have an influence on this team?
Disrespectful words with no facts, with nothing to say. We score 6 runs at home. Then we score, 9, and then we score 6 again here. They just happened to score 12. And then you look at our OPS on the road, what's the best in all the big leagues throughout a 162-game season, which we play 81 on the road. Their OPS was a lot higher at home than it was on the road. So, you know, just another kid that needs to know the facts or... You know what else needs to do.
Trying to stick it to the White Sox. All right. Tepera's just trying to hold up his end of the bargain. Now the Astros heard that, and they used that for fuel, apparently, yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know how much I put into fuel. Like, the better team won. It happened. It is what it is.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. You hear that soundbite, and that's right from the mouth of Dusty, right? Is that, Mello, does that not sound like Dusty Baker pretty much saying, like, hey, dude, you need to learn your facts when it comes to Minute Maid and guaranteed rate. Dude, all that, right?
Yeah, he set the tone, and Carlos Correa followed his lead. There's no doubt about it. Look, as a White Sox fan, I didn't love that Ryan Tepera came out and said that when you pitched well and you had a great performance. Guaranteed rate was rocking. There was no need, I thought, to go ahead and poke the opponent.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I just truly believe guys play... Those are pros, man. They play hard. They give everything they've got. and none of us have played 162 major league games to understand the grind they put on their body. Correa is a wonderfully talented guy. Altuve is a wonderfully talented player. Bregman, Gurriel, I mean, they're really freaking good.
That's great, but I'm not tipping my cap to them today. That's enough.
And I get it.
Yeah, from this side of the table, no one's. I'm not tipping my cap to them. Like, yeah, they won and they beat us. And look, I can't be surprised at the result. Look at the regular season. They killed the Sox at home at Minute Maid.
Yeah, it took all six. Four regular season, yeah. Right? Swept yeah, four down there.
You're right.
Yeah.
It sucks.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dean is in Blue Island. Hey, Dean, what's going on in the islands, kid?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Say the same thing. Houston definitely beat us, better team, but we got to play smarter. And if you guys don't mind, 20 rows up in the upper deck, and we get the one zip lead. Third inning, 0-2, fastball to Correa. Granted, the location was bad, but you don't throw a fastball at 0-2. And I'm blaming this completely on Grandel, by the way. Fourth inning, Kopech comes up. 3-0, Bregman, and what's called again, fastball. Yasmani Grandal suffers from Pudge Rodriguez syndrome. Fastball, fastball, fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in that stadium knew Bregman had 3-0. He had the green light, and he still calls a fastball. Last point, Sunday's game, even the game we won, sees flames out in the second inning. He's flying open on his fastball. Did you see any calls for a changeup within that second inning sequence? That's my only point. Have a great day, guys.
Dino, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate it, man.
Well, for a catcher, Grandal's a great DH. That's what doesn't throw out runners well enough for me. Doesn't call the greatest game. I knew when he came to the White Sox what he was, and that is a guy that has a quality bat, but not necessarily the best catcher.
Would you trade him?
If I can get some pitching, I would. I'm not sure what you can get for him, though. Because if I can see it, if Dean can see it, if you can see it, if Mellers can, then we know what he is.
He's an on-base guy. He
yes.
gets on base.
That's a DH behind home plate. That's what he is.
Correct. He is not a great framer. He's not a great handler of a staff. He doesn't throw exceptionally well, but he gets on base. So
there you have it.
Yeah, we'll see what they can do. Who's out there as a catcher you can go get? Because you're asking somebody to eat the salary that guy makes. What's he making? I think he signed 4 for $73.
Yes.
So he's making significant money.
On base percentage machine hitting $1.47. So those are gaudy numbers, and it's really a push and pull with him being on the roster.
What did he hit for the year? Do you remember?
It's got to be a dollar something, right?
No. I think he got it up after the knee surgery. I want to say he hit like 240.
Yeah, he was a little over. He's definitely over 200.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know he was 180 before the knee surgery.
Back to the phone lines we go.
Let's go to the phones. And Paulie is up in Lake Geneva. He's next. Hey, Paulie, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little baseball.
Let's do it.
The weak link on the Sox is Katz, the pitching coach, right? So.
Oh boy.
How do you let guys steal like that? And I know we're going to blame Grandal. And Grandal, you guys are right. He's not the best catcher, but they don't hold these guys on.
True.
And we got out scouted and out coached. They knew that right away. They could run on us all day. And the reason why I say Katz is the weak link here, let's go back to the Correa hit that turned the game around. Baseball's like chess, right? It's one move early in the game can determine the rest of the game. And guys will say, oh, no, you could have come back in the sixth. You could have come back in the eighth. The game was over in the third inning. Never should have left Rodon in. The batter before, he owned him on a high fastball, struck him out. What did he throw, 3-2? A ball in the dirt, some kind of slider in the dirt, totally passive, mm-hmm. non-aggressive. Mm-hmm. That's how Katz is. He's not aggressive. So then he walks the guy. Why in the world do you leave Rodon in there to pitch to Correa? 0-2 fastball, chest high down the middle.
I agree
with that. That's pitching coach stuff. That's pitching coach stuff there.
But you got to remember, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Paulie.
You were sitting there. What were you thinking at that spot? I know what I was thinking.
Right. The fastball I didn't understand. Like, he's on it. Throw him a slider. Throw something off the plate. But in the end, I can't blame a pitching coach. I've asked too many pitchers when I've interviewed them. when the pitching coach calls for a particular pitch, or the manager does, or the catcher does, and from Greg Maddux to Ryan Dempster to all these different guys I've been around, they all say, when that ball leaves my fingertips, that's on me. John Lester said.
That's right.
Don't tell me the catcher. You don't feel conviction in the pitch, it's coming off your fingertips. Don't throw it. So, no, I'm not going to blame the pitching coach. And all year long, how many times, Jonathan, did we hear, God, we're so glad Don Cooper's out of here and Ethan Katz is this wonder kind we've got to have here. And now because the pitching didn't do a good job, we're going to blame him?
No. I disagree with that. But I do agree with trying to hold runners on. What have you told me time and time again on this show about the White Sox defense? That's the thing that bothered you the most about the team.
The most.
All right, and so Grandal's part of that. Unable to hold on runners. The Astros' running game was fluid against Grandal. And the numbers, you are correct, Jeff. So it's a slash line of 240, 425, 20, and OPS of 939. On-base percentage machine, that's who Grandal is.
It's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
He reminds me of, like, in Moneyball, how are we going to replace the on-base numbers? Like, go get Scott Hatteberg. That's who he is, you know?
Moneyball.
Yeah, exactly.
But what did Scott Hatteberg do in Moneyball?
Got on base and hit the big home run.
And where was he playing, though?
First base.
Yes.
That's the big deal.
That's right. Stretched him out over at first.
And in this day and age, when you're talking about everything on the margins, I mean, look at that Giants and Dodgers series. Mm-hmm. It's like they're playing a different brand of baseball. Everything that's hit hard, defensively, they're aligned. And they're hitting them right into the fielders on both sides of the, you know, of the diamond. It feels like the White Sox, even though this year was fun, I'm with you, Hoodie. It was disappointing as a Sox fan.
No question about it. And by the way, Jeff is dour this morning. A big sigh because of the White Sox. He's just very dour today. And you can understand why. But it doesn't stop him from watching quality West Coast baseball again. Because for Jeff, it's like watching Buffalo, Kansas City. Because it's a different step. It's a different level.
Oh, man.
A different intensity.
Dodgers,
there.
Giants?
Yeah. So it's like, it's like, wow. Watching this, like, one of the best NFL games for a week.
Who's going to pitch in that game five?
For
both teams.
Well,
is Logan Webb,
on three,
is Logan Webb able
probably
to come back?
Yeah, I think so, because he was their game two starter. So I would think so. I haven't looked. I did have to go to bed at some point.
And that's tomorrow night.
What?
Correct?
Wait. Yeah, do you have a parlay going?
I do not. All my stuff's dead.
Is it?
Pretty much, yeah.
But you know what? Cap, today's another day. Get back on the horse.
Every day's a money-making opportunity at points,
Pat. Get back on the horse.
There you go.
Come on, Cap.
There you go.
You're better than that.
Logan Webb against Julio Urias.
There you go.
Yes.
That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Get back on the
Logan
horse,
Webb,
buddy.
Really, I'll be back on the horse.
All right. Don't forget.
That's it.
Sky Mercury.
I play a bunch of those championship parlays. Mm-hmm. I actually have the Colorado Avalanche, the Buffalo Bills, the Utah Jazz as a long shot play at 14-1. Ooh. And I believe the Giants. So that's alive.
That whole Jazz.
Got that going for me.
That whole Jazz thing. You could have talked to me about that. You know, the league won't allow that.
Probably right. let's go to Kenny in Crown Point. Kenneth, what's going on, Sparky?
Oh, my God. Good morning, guys. I just want to tell you, I, as a boy, had to call off 2 days in a row for that dumpster fire. And to grease the tracks, I told my boss, I'll even buy you a T-shirt, $50, holy crap. But, man, it was like every ball was just like, let's home run it. I was like, why don't we just bloop them to death? You know, little short shots, but It was just brutal. You know, like, it made me realize my life, and we all wore black for a blackout. We wore black for that funeral yesterday that I had to sit through.
Yeah.
Brutal. It's kind of like a kid that when you yell at him, I don't even know what to say. I don't even want to look at him. Thank God the Hawks and the Bulls, hey, just turn my back on them for now.
I hear you.
You know?
Right. I'll see you in April. Let me know what you do in the offseason to take the next step. But yeah. I do disagree with you, Kenny. They didn't waste your time. It was a really fun ride all season long. Yes, it fell far short of what you wanted, but you got a bright future, man.
Here's what I need you to do. I need you to keep your beak out of it, man.
Yeah, for real, man. Come on now. That was rough. That was a long time coming. You know, it was kind of like getting a mystery box, and it was just like a middle finger when I opened it. I was like, oh, well, that was a waste.
Exactly right. Have a good day, man. I appreciate you listening.
Hey, listen, I don't need you to be tender love and care for White Sox fans. This sucks today. That's all right. Big future. We know about the future, but today sucks.
I get it.
Let me have today. We got all offseason, all winter to talk about what the White Sox are going to do, but today is disappointing that they underachieved. Again, I expect them to take another step by getting to the next round of playoffs, and didn't happen. All of these expectations with the starting rotation, all these expectations with all the movement that they had when it came to the trade deadline, and it didn't come to fruition. It fell short. So let Kenny and everybody else be pissed off today. It's okay. Good season. Hey, I don't need your pat on the head this morning.
Son, bitch. 312-332-3776. Is Tony La Russa the right man to lead this Sox team in 2022? You'll hear from him. We'll hear from you. 312-332-3776. That's coming up. Plus, that was our opening drive brought to you by Northwestern Football. Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets always available at NUSports.com.
They score more than the White Sox. Go ahead.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I'm still trying to figure out why Kopech wasn't in the game one hitter earlier. I know Rodon has owned Correa through his career. But you get Kopech up for that moment. You don't wait until you're behind in the game. If I'm Tony La Russa, I have Kopech in that game to get that guy out. Right? Bases low to get Correa out. Now you bring him in, and now Gurriel's thinking, man, this is just gravy, right? If I get a hit here, we're up 4-1. We're thinking about Boston Red Sox possibly. I know it's early in the game, but if it's me, I have a righty ready for that moment. You got to think ahead, right? So, and they have a full bullpen. They have Kopech, they have Lynn who's down there, they have Tapera, they have all these righties that are ready to go. You could have had, as soon as we talked about it, we saw some signs of Rodon tiring. Two really long at bats, right? Especially against Alvarez. Boom, bases loaded, base hit, you're trailing, crowd's out of the game, got to get Gurriel out here.
You know, I was listening a lot, Cap, to Len and DJ, which I usually do. I told you that's my routine now. I have it in my ear, and I've synced up the TV so I can listen to the home team call.
Yep.
But I will tell you, just hearing some of these sound bites from AJ Brzezinski and Waino, along with Adam Amin, some really good stuff there. Like, AJ clearly is not holding back because he has a feeling for the White Sox.
Correct. I also think, and I know Adam Wainwright had a great year. He's 40 years old, and he's a beast. Adam Wainwright can do that next career as long as he wants. He's awesome. Really, really polished. Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
I didn't hear a lot of it in this series, but I, from the sound bites that Jeff has been bringing back, some good stuff there. So at least what I like is an analyst that's not afraid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've had the team meetings, and yeah, you've talked to the manager, but you know what? The game is the game, right? And so I just like an analyst that's not afraid to just speak their mind.
Those two guys together, now this is a high compliment, but it was almost like watching AJ and Wainwright is almost like watching Manning and Manning, the way they dissected the game and brought you into what the manager was thinking. I will say the one place where I was disappointed in Wainwright yesterday was when they brought up the Tapera stuff and how he suggested that the Astros were still cheating. Wainwright chose to sit out of that conversation. Now, obviously, he's still playing and he wants to play in 2022. So he said, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off and I don't want to ruffle any feathers. If you're an analyst and you're sitting in that booth, do that job, right? Don't take yourself out of that conversation because you might be facing the Astros next year. Otherwise, though, I thought that was one of the best baseball broadcast booths I can remember.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought the way they were lighthearted about AJ when Grandal was running up to first and it hit him. Mm-hmm. Oh, AJ, you've been in your share of controversies too, man. Like, they laughed. Or he was eating a Chicago hot dog. Like, he got it, man. He was... He played along. It was fun.
Good to hear from the voice of the Bulls, Adam Amin, for that broadcast as well.
There you go.
So that's awesome. So, all right, let's go back to the phone lines to talk to you. A sad, dour day if you're a White Sox fan to see the Sox go out. And go out in a hurry against the Astros.
Let's go to LaGrange. That's where Bob is. Hey, Bob, what's up, man?
I'm not surprised at all, gentlemen. Dusty Baker is a better manager than La Russa all day long. He never cheated. They want to go at him. He just has class. He just kept going. Oh, by the way, the Cubs ran him out of town, and he's back to keep the White Sox from winning. He's a great manager. And who cheats? He didn't cheat. And he's not falling for that crap. Dusty hit the cans. He wasn't nowhere around. And guess who else in the playoff? The guy Carrera. He's right there with Boston.
You mean Cora?
Cora, okay. Yeah. Joy Cora.
No, Alex Cora.
Alex Cora, two. Okay. Yeah. Well, he was the coach of Houston last year.
Manager,
okay. It comes out to the right place. If you get rid of a guy, careful what you do. He might bite you on the way back down. That's Dusty Baker. Hadn't done anything to anybody. He just has class. What has he done? He's not cheating. They don't like him, but guess what?
Hey, Bob, he's going to the Hall of Fame, you know.
Yeah, but the people in Chicago want to knock him.
I'm part of Chicago. I'm not knocking Dusty Baker. I said he's going to the Hall. I'm part of Chicago saying he's a Hall of Famer.
Now, I'm right now, there with Hoodie.
Now what do you do, Bob? What do you do in that spot?
What did DeRusso say? I think he threw at the guy. For what? Why would he throw at somebody? Trying to make Dusty a bad guy? He didn't throw at anybody.
Would you agree that he's a Hall of Famer, Bob?
Yes, I remember he played for the Giants. I know who Dusty Baker is.
No, I mean Hall of Famer as a manager, Bob.
Yes, he is, but Chicago don't treat him like that.
I'm in Chicago. I don't treat him that. Appreciate the phone call. Stop painting a broad brush on the whole city. Stop. Like, I know you got to get your talking points in, Bob, but the point is, though, that Cap and I are part of Chicago as well. We don't see Dusty like that. So I don't know who you're talking to.
I think Dusty, I know Danny doesn't like him. I know Sylvie doesn't like him. They also have a personal interest because their favorite team went down in such spectacular fashion. I got to know the guy. I've hung out with I like Dusty as a guy, and I think five teams to the playoffs, no one's ever done it. Five different teams. Come on, man. Let's just be fair here. The guy's a damn good manager.
I agree with Bob. The White Sox never should have fired Dusty Baker.
That's a good point, Jeff.
Yes.
And we got our revenge yesterday.
That's right. And you know what? What's happening in Boston with Joey Cora? Tremendous. He's a good coach for them.
He just got fired.
He did?
Yeah, the Pirates fired Joey.
Oh, God.
Go back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Space in Plainfield.
Okay.
Hey, Space, what's up, Sparkles?
Cap, Hoodie, what's up, guys?
What up?
Okay, Space, man. What do you have, kid? Okay, kid.
Hey, here's what I got today, Hoodie. You know what? I got it. So let me start by saying I am disappointed as a fan, very disappointed. I don't think it was a complete letdown. I don't feel the same as you. You know, I thought we were a year premature. I thought the team needed a year to get together with the new manager, get all the pieces together. So I thought we were just a year premature. I didn't see us doing making it and making as much noise as we did at the beginning of the year. I didn't see us winning it. But we put up a fight. It hurts. It hurts the way it happened. And what really hurts now is all these daggum Cubs fans sending me messages posting and how you Sox fans feel about it. Now we got to hear from y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to hear from the world. Now we got to hear from the rivals up in this city. And y'all, you know, y'all got to ease up off us right now, man, because we going through some things. But it was a tough loss. You know, I think the thing that really got us is what got us throughout the whole season. We couldn't win on the road. You know, we had a terrible on the road winning percentage. And, you know, compared to all the other teams that were an elite in their division, they did the one thing that we couldn't do, and that's win on the road. The Astros did that. We just proved that we couldn't do it. You know, they got a dynamite ace over there, and the key is we just got to jump on them early, man. We made some bad decisions, bad manager decisions. But, you know, I'm hopes for next year, man. A little disappointed today, but, yeah.
Have a great day, man. Appreciate you, Space. So the question is, Hoodie, do you have an ace on your team that's going to take the next step? Is Giolito that guy? Is Dylan Cease that guy? Is Michael Kopech that guy? I don't know that.
Well, as far as Kopech is concerned, he's in the same spot in 2022 as he is this past season. I don't see him as a rotation guy. I do not.
Do you, Jeff?
How about this, Jeff? If I ask you directly, has Kopech earned a slot in the rotation for 2022? I say no.
Boy, I would say I don't think he's really earned it. I don't think Rodon will be back, though, because I think Carlos Rodon wants to get paid, and I don't think that's the way the season finished. You can break the bank for him, right?
Agreed.
And the one thing about Kopech is, Hoodie, since the first two, he was lights out in the first 2 months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the last 4 months, he's been very hittable.
Yep.
And, you know, I know everybody, I feel like people like fell in love with the guy we saw in the first 2 months, who, again, was great out of the pen. But after that point, he hasn't been the lights out pen guy that you were relying on in the first 2 months. So the need to get to him as quickly as they did yesterday, I understood it, but it wasn't like I was confident.
No. So on paper, as we've seen, it looked good, right? Like Kopech, Bummer, Kimbrell, Hendricks. On paper, it looks good.
It does.
But unfortunately, that young man, Kopech, has not earned, Cap, the opportunity to be in the rotation. You got to go out and find that. I mean, he's got good stuff. I understand that. But if you take a look, Jeff's right. Look at the last couple of months. Straight as an arrow fastball. And he gets hurt on pitches up in the zone as well. There's just really good hitters. I get that. But I don't see a next-level guy in Kopech. Not yet. Not for 2022.
Yeah, I think he deserves the opportunity to compete for that rotation. I do. But I also still think you're nowhere near the luxury tax. You're ready to take the next step. Go spend some money. Whoever that guy is, That's for them to figure out. Go get the best available guy and plug and play that guy in your rotation. Phone lines are locked. I mean, we got every line lit. All your White Sox calls. Next. Look what
you've done. You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Lines are hopping here on Cap J. Hood on ESPN 1000. White Sox season comes to a disappointing end. The better team won. The Houston Astros advance. They'll take on the Boston Red Sox in Game 1 on Friday night at the Juice Box, Minute Maid Park. With Hoodie, I'm Cap, 312-332-3776. Let's go to, how about Tom in Plainfield? Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
No, just not much. I'm disappointed too. But Hoodie, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed in hearing that you're kind of like the White Sox mantra. I'm not going to tip my hat to the other team. We just got our ass handed to us by a much better team. I'm going to tip my hat to them because they did what I'm hoping our team eventually will do. But to have sour grapes and piss and moan about the fact that you won't give credit to somebody else, that's kind of minor league.
Well, you'll have yours. You know, standards as a fan, I'll have my standards as a fan. I didn't watch the IHSA baseball championships. I watched my White Sox team lose against the Astros. So that's
right. You watched a team that was sub 500 against good teams all year.
Yeah. You expected
them to jump through the playoffs? No. They did what they were going to do.
I documented that. We talked about that. Right. I never sat them as a World Series team.
No, I'm not saying that you did, but to have the sour grapes, I'm not going to tip my hat to the other team. That's just kind of, I don't know, Detroit-esque, I would say.
All right. I'll wear my Detroit hat very proudly this morning, then. We appreciate the phone call.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. 312-332-3776.
I don't have to tip my cap to anyone after my team got eliminated in the playoffs. I don't tip my cap to anybody. I want the team to be better. Again, you want to look at it like you're watching the IHSA baseball championships, that's fine. I'll look at my major league team and have major league standards for a team in a major market. That's what I'll do.
Let's go to Greg on the south side. Hey, Greg, what's up, man?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, Greg.
So I'm a season ticket holder, been to about 60 games this year, watched this team closely, and I leave this this elimination with a little bit of optimism. I look at just the context of the season. We dealt with a lot of injuries to major impact players. We saw a lot of guys step up and actually develop. We saw two rookies come in and look like, you know, they were ready for Major League Baseball, Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets. And I got a really optimistic outlook on this team going forward. And sometimes you got to get hit in the mouth to learn how to defend it. And I think that's what happened to the Sox. This ALDS, and I feel good about our chances, and I just feel good about the long term outlook of the White Sox. I mean, I think we're in a good position going forward to have sustained success. But yeah, I am disappointed. So I'm with you, Hood. I'm not going to tip my cap to the Astros. I know that, you know, sometimes you get beat by a better team, but sure. I mean, we just lost. I'm not all that excited about the Astros right now. Forget them.
Yeah, that's so we appreciate
the good day, Greg.
Again, everyone has their right to feel how they feel as a fan, but I didn't wake up this morning and say, you know what, I want to feel like our caller from Plainfield. You know what? I feel great. Tip our cap to the Astros. I'm not doing that. I have expectations for the White Sox. Even if you do not, I do. That's how I look at it. And so how I look at it, Cap, is like, you know, the White Sox should have been able to play better in this series, and they did not. At least fight. I didn't see fight for 3 out of the 4 games, and that's troublesome to me.
Yeah, the most disappointing from my seat, just as a baseball analyst who's covered teams for over 30 years, was your starting pitching. Look, McCullers and Framber Valdez, these guys are good pitchers, man. There's a reason that team's gone to 5 straight ALCSs. What I did not like was when you had to make a big pitch to the 8-hole hitter and you're Lucas Giolito. Walk. Now you got Maldonado, so you allow him to turn the lineup over. Or Carlos Rodon throwing another fastball right down the middle when it's 0-2. How about something off the plate?
Yeah.
Just shrunk in big moments.
The White Sox lost 6-1, 9-4, 10-1. Those are non-competitive games when all is said and done.
And that was led by your weak starting pitching.
And the caller said that, you know, they suffered a lot of injuries. That is true. Mm-hmm. However, because of the division, they were able to win this one in a walk, at least to AL Central. And truth be told, did those injuries really hurt them? Because by the time the playoffs rolled around, who significant was not on the roster? That's what's concerning to me as a White Sox fan. Aloy was back. Luis Robert was your most dangerous hitter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So all the critical guys who were hurt during the regular season were back and playing baseball when it really mattered.
Yeah, you just wonder what effect the injuries and trying to ramp it back up had on their body. I mean, Luis Robert yesterday came out of the game with tightness in his legs. Like, it's tough to miss 3 months of baseball and then drop you right in and go, all right, play at a World Series level. It's tough.
It is difficult.
Part of the deal, though.
When you're at the top of your game in the American League Central and you say, oh, you know, this would be a cakewalk every year. The Sox would be the best team in the American League Central. Yeah, but when it counts in the playoffs, now you play someone real. Now it's an adjustment for everybody on the White Sox.
Yep. So we'll see how this all shakes out in the offseason. We'll get to more of your calls, Nick and Jarvis and Brandon and Tom and the rest of you. Shot or no shot is coming up in 2 minutes. And follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Watch us live. Join the chat. Sponsored by Xfinity. Back in 120 seconds.